Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Wisconsin is keeping pollsters scrambling in these final weeks of election season, and it's anyone's guess what 2024 will bring other than a razor-thin victory for either party. That's why campaigns are ramping up their efforts across the state, and we are talking with party strategists today. We have Andrew Iverson, who's the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me on.
I know it's a busy time of year for you here. What does a typical day look like?
Well, a typical day consists of meeting with our staff in our various departments, making sure that everybody is executing the plan for the day and for the week and in upcoming months. Beyond that, it's also working very closely with various campaigns and organizations from the state legislative level to the congressional level, U.S. Senate, as well as at the presidential level. We also work closely with the various organizations such as the NRCC and the NRSC, as well as the RNC. So it's all about coordinating all the different various efforts and parties in the state of Wisconsin.
You are a veteran Trump supporter. I know you ran the Trump effort here in Wisconsin in 2020. Can you tell me, from a personal perspective, why is he the candidate for you?
Well, I think in this state, I think so much of it comes down to he appeals to non-traditional Republican voters. So obviously you have still the Republican base, but also he appeals to old school Democrats, where the Democratic Party left them, and his policies have directly improved their lives. So I think he just appeals to a very large and different demographic than previous Republican candidates.
So for you as a young person, a lifelong Wisconsinite?
Yes.
So why is he the candidate for you?
Well, I'd say it's his peace through strength, foreign policy. That's foreign policy has always been interesting to me. But beyond that, he's always been so strong in the economy, and he's not afraid to go speak to any demographic across the state as well as across this country.
Can you describe what would a Trump victory mean for Wisconsin? How do you think things would be different?
Well, I think we'd have a stronger economy, that first and foremost. When you look at inflation, record rates of inflation under the Joe Biden-Harris administration, and it's such a strength of President Trump. So I think, number one, he would bring our economy back. Secondly, he would secure our border. 8 out of 10 deaths in Milwaukee County come as a result of fentanyl, and much of the fentanyl coming through this country is coming through the southern border. So I think we'd have safer communities and a stronger economy under President Trump.
I know that former President Trump won here in 2016, and he lost here in 2020 by just about 20,000 votes. What were the key lessons that you learned as a party strategist from that 2020 election?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to winning presidential elections in Wisconsin is tough. There are always very, very tight margins in this state, and so you need to take your message to every part of this country and talk to all communities. So I think a few things that we can do better this time is communicate better to swing voters. And I think we'd have a great opportunity this time because swing voters, and all voters quite frankly, will be able to compare the two records between the President Trump presidency as well as the Biden-Harris administration.
So have there been some key ways in which you've changed campaign strategy from 2020? What are some examples of that?
Well, I think a lot of it is taking our message to all communities across the state. So holding various rallies around the state, holding smaller events, holding the bus tour. A few weeks ago, we had a bus tour and we're going to smaller communities and taking our message directly to voters. And we've had a great reception as a result of that. So I think a lot of it is talking about the issues that really matter to voters, such as the economy and immigration, and taking them directly to the voters.
Other than a different name at the top of the ticket on the Democratic side, how is this particular race different than 2020? Are there some key ways?
Well, I think a lot of it is just back in 2020, it was a COVID year. And so I think our elections were just, it was a simply very different time. You had a very large number of absentee ballots. sent or and requested and sent as a result of COVID. And so I think that really changed like the vote method of voters, whereas I think this cycle you'll see more of a traditional breakdown of pre-election day voting versus election day voting. So I think the vote method really changes things. And the reason that matters is because if people are voting by absentee, they can vote prior to election day. Therefore, you must have your message and win over voters significantly earlier than on election day itself.
So a little less pressure here than in when you have to have your message set up earlier?
Yeah, it's more of an election season rather than election day. And I think that's a big lesson learned from 2020, actually.
Interesting. I know that both parties have said this really is an every vote count strategy. And we have seen candidates traveling to parts of the state maybe where they aren't expected to be. For instance, former President Trump in deep blue Dane County. Back in 2020, I was looking, he got just under 79,000 votes, about 23% of the vote. Do you have a goal in Dane County of how much you'd like to see that increase?
Well, when you look, you hit it exactly right on the head. This is a very tight state with razor-thin margins, so we have to go everywhere in this state. And Dane County has the third highest volume of Republican votes in this state, and so it's important that Republicans campaign in Dane County. As you mentioned, the president had about 23% back in 2020, and looking at that, all we need to do is improve just a tiny bit in 2024, and that gives us a really good path statewide to win.
Are you looking for 25%? Is there an actual percentage that when you look back at this will mean success for you in Dane County?
When you look back at 2020, when you realize that we lost by about just shy of 1 percentage point, and you look at that and you look at where do you find those 20 to 30,000 votes across the state, and that's everywhere. I just personally want to see an increase in Dane County.
Any kind of increase is a win there.
That is correct. Yep.
What about special populations? Are there any particular groups that you're particularly targeting or working with on messaging?
Well, I think it's taking our message everywhere. As I mentioned, so you have blue-collar voters in mid-sized cities like Janesville and in Oshkosh. You have rural outstate Wisconsin, where President Trump has performed really well with. But it's continuing to turn out those voters and actually increase those margins in outstate Wisconsin. Additionally, it's taken our message to minority voters as well, particularly in Milwaukee County. So we have our office on the north side of Milwaukee, and then we also have a Hispanic office on the south side of Milwaukee where we're holding events there or media events. We're out canvassing and taking our message directly to voters.
What we were hearing a lot in the polls and from analysts about young black men voters. Is that a key group for the campaign this time around? And what does success look like with that particular demographic?
Well, I think we have a real opportunity with messaging in that regard. When you look at rent prices, we're hearing that anecdotally left and right from our team in the north side of Milwaukee office. So many individuals are coming into the office and talking about rising crime, the rising cost of rent. Just life has become unaffordable and less safe under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So I think there's a real opportunity messaging-wise. And so from a party perspective, we need to make sure we take our message to them. So that's through mail, through radio, as well as door-to-door canvassing efforts.
There's also been a lot written about this group of undecided voters. I'm not sure who those people are. The Emerson poll just from a few weeks ago said that Wisconsin has about 12% of undecided voters. What's the key message to an undecided voter? What's the strategy there?
Well, I think with that, it's comparing the two records. Whereas in 2020, President Trump was the incumbent, Joe Biden was not. And therefore, there wasn't really two records to compare. It was one individual's record versus the other's promises. And we realized that those have become broken promises under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So this time, we can truly compare what was your life like under President Trump? What is your life like under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? And so we compare the economy. We compare rising crime. We compare foreign policy. Gas prices, groceries prices. And so you compare all that, and I think it's a very clear decision that life was better under President Trump.
That's the way to win over an undecided voter.
That's correct.
I also want to ask you about this gender gap. I keep hearing about this, the widening gap between how men are thinking about this election and women. Again, that Emerson College poll, Wisconsin men break 54 to 45 for former President Trump. Wisconsin women break 53 to 45 for Vice President Harris. How are you focusing messaging to women?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to the pocketbook issues. A lot of women are make the decisions. They're the CEO of their household. I know my wife is. And so it's important that a lot of the decisions being made are pocketbook issues. And so you look at the economy under President Trump, versus Kamala Harris. And I think it's very obvious that life was a lot more affordable under President Trump. And then also you look at a lot of young families out there looking to buy homes, and you saw record rates, interest rates for buying homes, record mortgages under Joe Biden. And so you look at a lot of those various issues, and a lot of it is tied to the economy.
Is it really still in these final 3 weeks about persuading voters, or are you really focusing on actually ensuring that your supporters show up at the polls?
It's both, but for the party, a little more the emphasis is on turning out our own voters. And so it's GOTV season, get out the vote season. And so it's really about making sure we turn out Republicans to vote for President Trump and up and down the ballot.
I'm curious what you're hearing around or feeling about enthusiasm. The last Marquette poll showed that enthusiasm among Democrats was slightly higher than among Republicans, 71% for Democrats, 67% among Republicans. Is that a factor that you worry about, that enthusiasm factor?
Not if you ever attended a Trump rally. I think just a few weeks ago when he was in Dodge County, he was in the city of Juneau, and the energy there was tremendous. Our voters are very excited. We're getting emails and calls every day with supporters asking how they can get involved. We've had to order extra yard signs because everybody keeps asking for more and more yard and barn signs. And so there's a ton of enthusiasm on the ground. And I just don't think that's ever really been an issue for President Trump.
Do you feel that enthusiasm is different than what you felt in 2020?
I do. There's a lot of optimism here. We feel really strong and really good about our base and them turning out. And I think there's more of a question on with Democrats and their support of Kamala Harris.
What is your get out the vote messaging? How are you talking to people about the importance of actually voting?
Yep. So different. So some of it, it's a lot of it is about your civic duty, right? We all have the right, you know, people have fought and died for our right to vote. And so it's important to get out and vote. And so it's Wisconsinites' civic duties to turn out and vote. Also, President Trump is out there working hard. He's put himself out there on the line. And so therefore we use that as an example of why it's so important to get out there and vote for President Trump and Republicans up and down the ballot. And then you also look at the extreme policies of Kamala Harris. I think that's reason enough to turn out and vote, is we do not need four more years of these far left Democrat policies.
How are you talking to Republicans about absentee voting and early voting? We know that traditionally Republicans like to vote on Election Day, but absentee and early voting have become really an important part of that, increasing that turnout. Are you finding Republicans to be more receptive to these different methods of voting?
We have, actually. We really have noticed a significant change of mindset amongst Republican voters. They're much more open-minded this cycle that I've noticed in my cycles working in Republican politics. So I think Republicans are more interested in pursuing an absentee ballot or getting out and voting in person during the early vote in person period.
Is that a pretty important piece of get out the vote?
Absolutely. If we can increase our early vote numbers, when I say early vote, that's AB or EV. If we can increase that percentage just a little bit so we don't have as heavy of a mound to climb on Election Day, we'll be in a very good position heading into Election Day.
I want to talk about the key issues for voters in this election. We keep hearing it's the economy by a wide margin, followed further behind by issues like abortion and immigration. President Trump is noted by voters by nearly a 10-point margin as the better candidate on both the economy and immigration. Yet the polls overall are still this neck and neck between those two candidates. Shouldn't President Trump be further ahead now because of his strength on those two key issues?
Well, I think those are the key issues, and I think President Trump has a history of his supporters may not always partaking in polls, and so I think there's always the silent majority factor with President Trump compared to other candidates. So I think that's a real factor there. But also I think that you just hit it on the head. Like, the reality is Wisconsinites do trust President Trump on the economy. They trust him on immigration. And when they go to vote, either before or on November 5th, they'll vote with that in mind.
Unemployment is low in Wisconsin. Inflation has been cooling. Why do you think that President Trump is better on the economy, specifically for Wisconsin? And what do you think are some immediate changes we would see if he is elected?
It's a great point. So the two largest industries in Wisconsin is agriculture and manufacturing. And you look at the policies under President Trump, such as USMCA, his trade deals, those greatly impacted the trade unions, greatly impacted agriculture and the manufacturing industries. And so I think you'll see a big boost in those various industries when President Trump has returned to the White House.
He has been talking about a lot about tariffs, wanting to put tariffs on foreign goods. And economists say that's going to increase costs for consumers. What do you think the impact of tariffs will be on Wisconsinites?
Well, I would look back at USMCA, and there was a lot of talk, very similar criticisms made towards President Trump's trade policies in his first term. And so I think you'll see very similar results where it did help Wisconsin farmers, it did help Wisconsin manufacturers and the various trade unions.
The former president has been talking a lot about border security. You've been mentioning that in our interview here. We know that immigrants do play critical roles in Wisconsin industries like dairy, like in the construction industry. President Trump has been talking about mass deportation. What do you think his immigration policy overall really is, and what is the impact on Wisconsin?
I think it's about securing the border. Like, as I mentioned earlier, 8 out of 10 deaths in Milwaukee County are a result of fentanyl, and much of the fentanyl coming into this country and plaguing our communities comes from the southern border. So I think so much of the issue is, number one, is securing our border. And then from there, you can determine immigration policies. But it's so important that we secure the border first. And so that's what I would really heavily focus on. And you look at the crime occurring in our communities. Just there's multiple examples right here in Wisconsin. That's why you saw President Trump visit Prairie du Chien just a few weeks ago, where you saw a Venezuelan gang member commit a crime in Prairie du Chien. So if it's happening in small rural Wisconsin, it can hit us and affect us anywhere in the state.
What would you say to somebody that might be concerned about the impact of mass deportation on the dairy industry or the construction industry in Wisconsin?
Well, I think a lot of it is we just need to make sure our immigrants are documented and come in here legally. That's really what it comes down to.
What about the former president's message around abortion? He says he doesn't support a national abortion ban. He's been questioned about that. Is that message really getting through to voters, particularly women?
Well, I think we're seeing a lot of concern from Democrats over this issue because they can't win on the economy, they can't win on immigration. So they're talking about abortion and fear-mongering Wisconsinites and citizens across this country. Whereas President Trump has made his policy very clear where he supports IVF, universal IVF treatments, and Kamala Harris has a very far-left extreme policy on abortion where she wants taxpayer-funded abortions.
So for people who are concerned about a potential national abortion ban, if President Trump wins, that's not a valid concern?
I would just listen to what the president has said himself, where he's denied those claims.
The Marquette poll and other national polls, shifting to the U.S. Senate race here, which we know is also generating a lot of interest nationally. National polls showing Senator Tammy Baldwin leading Eric Hovde, although Mr. Hovde is closing in on some of those polls. What's been the strategy for Mr. Hovde to win that race?
Well, I think you're seeing just the fact that Eric Hovde is a great candidate. He has a great story to tell. Born and raised in Wisconsin, successful businessman. He's done so much to benefit communities in this country and abroad with human trafficking. Like, it's just an incredible work. And so he's a great story to tell. And so I think the more that Wisconsinites get to know Eric Hovde, the more they're going to realize that he's the right choice for U.S. Senate. So I think a big part of the message is simply make sure Wisconsinites know who Eric Hovde is as a person. But they also need to realize, look at Tammy Baldwin as the career politician. She has a lot of baggage, and there's a reason why that with her campaign that they're spending so much money on negative ads against Eric Hovde. If you've spent many, many years, many terms in the U.S. Senate and in Congress, and you're spending your time and money attacking your opponent, I think that is very telling.
There are a lot of negative ads in this race. You see them all the time from both sides. Do you think negative ads are necessary in a tight race like this?
I think they do play a significant factor. I think there's a reason why you do see so many negative ads. It's because they are effective. But I think a lot of the time they have to be true, though. And so I think a lot of Wisconsinites, they can tell whether an ad is serious or whether an ad is frivolous.
We've been doing interviews all across the state, all federal candidates for federal office, and we've been asking them about this big influx of out-of-state money. There's so much out-of-state money in our elections. What are your thoughts about that record-breaking amount of out-of-state money that's being used to influence our local elections?
I think it just goes to show how tight Wisconsin is and how pivotal Wisconsin is. And so you have all this out-of-state money that's pouring into the state trying to influence our elections. But ultimately, it's going to come down to who is the better candidate, who is the better message, which candidate is working harder, which campaign is working harder. You put all that together, and that'll determine who's successful. I will say, though, out-of-state money is nothing new in this state when you look at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin taking millions from Reid Hoffman, taking millions. And in fact, the vast majority of their money has been raised from out-of-state.
I want to move to talking about election integrity, which is a concern for both parties in this election, has been an increasing concern. I know there was some controversy after the 2020 election, some people in the Trump campaign, including yourself, questioning whether or not that election was fair in 2020. And what are your thoughts now, looking back at 2020? Do you think that that was a fair election?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we need to focus on is 2024. And so we need to have a stronger election integrity effort. And I think our team has put together a very strong election integrity effort heading into 2024. Back in November of 2023, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, working with county parties, submitted over 5,500 poll worker submissions. And then ever since then, we've been focused on election observers or poll watchers, same term used interchangeably. And so it's really important now that we're training, that we're recruiting and training and then shifting election observers to be there during the early vote period as well as on election day.
So do you have confidence that the election will be fair this November?
I'm confident that with the safeguards and our historic election integrity efforts that we'll be able to trust the election result in 2024.
Are you sensing that most Republican voters have faith in the election process here in Wisconsin this time?
I think there's just been a tremendous amount of energy about election integrity. You have a ton of Republicans who are attending our trainings. A lot of them are very engaged in learning more and more about the process, especially at the local level. And I think that's a good thing. I think the more educated base and the more educated Wisconsinites are in the election process, the better the process will be.
Do you expect a peaceful transition of power regardless of what the result is in November?
In all of our trainings, we always mention how it's so important to make sure everybody's incredibly respectful. And our volunteers, I've seen nothing but respect from them and a willingness to learn and work with the judges and the municipal clerks. And so there's been nothing but respect that we're pushing for and have been getting feedback on from our volunteers.
How will you be assessing your success and momentum in these final weeks? We're down to 3 weeks. What are you looking for that tells you you're continuing on the right track?
Well, I want to see. I want to continue to see that this race is very tight. I don't necessarily look at a single poll. I look at all the polls and try to pick up on various trends. So that's one thing I look at. Secondly, it's just the anecdotal, kind of the gut feel when you're out there talking to the grassroots, talking to swing voters, and that really gives you a good feel as to how you're doing. Right now, there's a ton of energy out there, and we're feeling good and we're feeling confident, but we have a long way to go between now and Election Day.
Are there any particular trends that you've been paying attention to?
Well, I just noticed that that I think when you look at statewide with President Trump going, he and J.D. Vance have been all over the state, and we have great crowd size. I think we had to turn over 4,000 people away when he was in Prairie du Chien, so I think that's a good indicator of the enthusiasm. So you like to see enthusiasm in rural Wisconsin, suburban, and urban parts of the state.
You say you don't look at any particular polls, but are there some that you do pay more attention to?
I certainly look at the Marquette poll just because, you know, I've lived and worked here my whole life, and so I'm familiar with that. I don't take it as exactly verbatim with the percentages given necessarily, but I definitely like to take a close eye and keep close attention to the Marquette poll.
And you said earlier sometimes you don't think those polls pick up Republican Trump voters necessarily.
I think so. I think if you look back at President Trump's years in politics from 16 to 20 to now in the 24 cycle, I think you always see that his supporters have been underpolled.
Underpolled. Would you expect your strategy to change or ramp up in these final 3 weeks? Are there any tweaks you're making?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of it is continuing to boost our local candidates, actually. So at the state legislative level, so for the Assembly and the Senate. And let me tell you, those candidates are working incredibly hard, working out their shoe leather. And so we want to help boost them as well. And so them out there working really hard is going to help help Eric Hovde, it's going to help the congressionals, and will help President Trump out as well.
Are there any particular races in the state assembly or the state senate that you have put more energy in or are watching pretty closely?
Yeah, there's a few state senate races that we're focused on and a few state assembly races that we're focused on and have been putting strong resources behind to help out with those various elections.
What about the money in these final weeks? Has there been any different type of investment? Are you getting more money coming into the party?
Yeah, and that's traditional. Traditionally, you do see a lot of money pouring at the end. And so we've been very appreciative of that and been applying that and putting that towards the state in regards to election integrity, to boosting local races such as state assembly, state senate, helping out with congressional, the senate, as well as the presidential race. So we're using our money to help boost all Republicans up and down the ballot.
We can expect more ads in these next few days. Huh?
We don't do as much with the TV ads, but I think you'll certainly see enough of those.
We'll be hearing it and seeing it. When all your organizing and strategizing is done on election night, what are you watching for? Is there a state as results come in? Kind of what do you think is going to give you a sense? Good night, not so good night, or we still don't know?
I'll be watching closely. Obviously, I'll keep an eye on Pennsylvania and Michigan, just because we should probably get those. They're obviously at a time zone ahead of us. So those would be two states I'll be keeping a close eye on, just because they should begin to have some results come in before Wisconsin. However, in a state like Wisconsin, like we all know, like Democrats and Republicans, we all know that's going to be a tight state. And so we won't know until the final election result is in. Within the state, I usually look at rural versus suburban versus urban Wisconsin. I try to look at our margins there, and that will usually give me a decent idea of how we're doing.
Like around turnout. Are there any, some people talk about it can come down to precincts or certain counties. Are there some counties that you look at a little more closely in Wisconsin?
As I mentioned, I think this strategy has really shifted for Republicans, where it used to be heavily focused on like probably
the wow
two
counties.
Exactly, a few geographic locations. And I think just like with President Trump and the change in demographics, as well as Republicans doing a lot better in western and northern Wisconsin, I think you have to look all across the entire state. That's why I look at it as kind of three larger groups, meaning like how is rural Wisconsin doing, how is suburban, how is urban doing.
You know, nationally, they talk about the blue wall for Democrats, how important that blue wall is, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Is there a red wall for President Trump? Are there some states that kind of like you want to be clinching those early for that red sort of security?
Well, Chairman Whatley of the RNC, he's made it clear that there are seven states that this election will come down to, and there are seven states that President Trump must focus on, and we're one of those seven states. So all we can do is focus on our own state and make sure we put together the best effort we possibly can.
Why do you enjoy this work?
Well, it's fast-paced. No 2 days are ever the same. No two election cycles are the same. And I'm a big history guy, and so it's really cool to be a part of history. Obviously, we play a very small part in that, but it's very exciting to be a part of history and also work with people. I love putting together teams. I love working with teams. I love the collaborative nature of working in politics.
And where will you be on election night?
Probably over in Waukesha. So we'll be watching election results over there.
Right. And finally, final question, what does life look like after election night for you?
Well, with the heat of the election season, I always make sure I spend good time with my family in the evenings and the weekends, but I'm usually on the phone and it can always get pulled away at any moment. So I'm just looking forward to uninterrupted time at the dog park with our golden retriever, my wife and my one-year-old little girl.
So some downtime maybe just for a little bit.
That'll be very nice. That sounds welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrew, for joining us and sharing a little bit about these last 3 weeks.
Very good. Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.